מצא להיות את צהר זה קוראים לה פטורי דלמאו ראינו היא אפי עצת המעיינה פקצת היצרני את אורו ענאי
קי אורה. My name is Nikki Patch. I work for Heritage New Zealand, Pohere Taonga. Last year, I spoke with a few of our staff members about their own experiences of Matariki and the new cycle that comes with the appearance of the star cluster during the darkness of winter. As a nation, we embrace the rising of Matariki together for the first time. Today, we acknowledge this new journey and the sharing that has brought us together to reflect upon this great legacy. For this podcast episode, I will be speaking with two of our Māori Heritage Team staff members. Dean Whiting will share some insights and experiences. Natika Eruiti Satish will be giving us an insight into where and how this mātauranga, this knowledge, has come to be part of her life.
Aira e Nikki, tēnā hoki koe e hoa, o tira, kia koutou I roto I te ao whānui, tēnā koutou e whakarongo mai ana ki tēnā I pito pito kōrero e pāna ki a Matariki. Yes, my friend, I did grow up learning about Matariki right from kohanga. I can remember playing with paper mache stars, learning the names of all our whetū, what they stood for when they pop up in the sky. Even in Kura Kaupapa as well, I went to Tikoro Otari. I was born and bred in Wellington, but my whānau is from Te Wairua and Waikare Moana. So obviously when I used to get sent home, the mātauranga deepened when I was with my own whānau. But my learning journey did start at Kura first. Yeah.
Which kohanga did you go to?
Te kohanga o Karori, up over in the hills. Yeah. Shout out to my nanny Charmaine.
Growing up, what activities took place on and around the time of the rising of Matariki?
Oh, a lot of wānanga. For us, it was definitely a time of a lot of discussion. We were, as children, sitting amongst our pakeke, our mātua parents, kaumātua, our grandparents, sitting on the floor in front of fires, listening to them discuss either our whakapapa or going back in time. They were looking at what kind of season it is, what whetū that popped up in the air, so they could decide, hey, should we go garden in this crop or should we go fishing? Because it's winter too, it's like, how do we keep each other warm? I remember a lot of discussions, especially when we were back up in the farm listening to the old people. There were also a lot of karakia, those kinds of activities. Taonga would be brought out. I remember my nannies bringing out different pounamu and they would discuss them. And I think that was something to do with the dead. When I look back in those times, just sitting around listening, you know, and we're being raweke as me and my cousins trying to tease each other in the background, then we'll get a growling. But yeah, it was a lot of what are we doing to keep our family survival first, and especially in those cold months, as well as, you know, making sure our whenua is still thriving in those colder times during Matariki. Yeah, it's definitely a together vibe.
Do you remember any of the crops in particular?
Oh my gosh, yeah, there were spuds. Oh, and we had those Māori spuds. Oh, I don't know what they're called, but the purple ones, they're purple skin and they're purple inside as well. Do you know what they're called?
Urenika.
Urenika, yeah. But anyway, we had potatoes. We had kumara, kamokamo, corns, or it might have been mace at that time. I can't remember which comes up. Pumpkins. Ooh, no, the fruit trees would have just been sticks by that point. Yeah, there was heaps. We have our homestead in one paddock and then the other paddock was just rows and rows and rows of māra. My favourites are kamokamos. I used to love eating them with butter. Oh.
Did you celebrate hotapu?
As a child, I didn't really understand the significance. I just saw it all happen, but it's not until I got older I actually cottoned on to what my elders were doing and I understood. As you get older, your knowledge deepens and you start actually being like, oh, this is what you're doing. This is why we're doing things the way we do them at a certain time of the year as well. So, yeah, we did do hotapu back in the days on the farm. Now that we're bringing the kaupapa of Matariki to the whole nation, it's nice to reflect on those. It's like it's triggering those kinds of memories back into my adulthood, being like, oh, that's what those old people were on about. Yeah.
So there's a continuity through time for you and for your whānau. Is there a special place that you will be this year for Hautapu?
We're kind of doing something different for our Matariki period. In the spirit of togetherness, me and my friend circle have decided to spend every Matariki together, start new fresh intentions, you know, set new goals, all that kind of stuff. And this year we're going to be in Taupō. We thought it would be awesome, since we all spread across the motu, to host it every year at someone else's whare, because the stars are different in every takiwa of Aotearoa, right? And so we thought, hey, we could go to Taupō, learn how everything's done in Tū Whare Toa. Last year we were up our Whanganui Awa, and yeah, why not carry on the tradition? I'll haul my mates over to Hawke's Bay 1 year and I can show them around how we do things in Waikare Moana. But this year we'll be in Taupō Nui Atia, and I can't wait, because I know on that side things are a little bit different when we look up. I think it's important to have that breadth of knowledge. And it's also contributing into how we're educating our nation, hey, of this important holiday that we've kohad from our own mātauranga to Aotearoa.
Was there anything else you wanted to add?
Actually, one thing I was going to do was, when Nikki asked me to do this, there's a song I learnt when I was 5, but I'll only sing a little bit of it. Yeah, anyway, it goes like this. It goes, Ko matariki te whetū tohu o te tauhau Māori e. Ka puta mai te rā tuatahi o pipiri te marama. Te marama tuatahi o te maramata ka Māori. Te marama motuhake, he marama motuhake ki te whakatipu te kumara. Ko te kumara, ko te kumara, te kairangatira o nehera. So in those, it's got When Matariki Rises. It talks of the kumara, it talks of the marama of pipiri being our new year, and it talks about the kumara being the kai of our rangatira tipuna. And I remember that song, I learnt it when I first started primary school at the Tikuru Ōtari when I was 5. But in terms of where this mātauranga comes from, or how I've managed to retain what I know, it's through these kinds of rawimi resources that our matua tipuna, you know, before the hekinga o te nui a kiwa came from, they have travelled across on this journey with us. And yeah, you know, giving those koha o taonga as children, wow, I'm very lucky to have gotten that mātauranga in these forms that I can remember and I can pass on to, you know, my nephews, or whenever I have children, I'll be teaching them these songs as well, and then they'll know forever like I do. Yeah.
That's a beautiful ending. And on that note, our thanks and appreciation for your time and your waiata at the end, and for sharing with us. Kia ora. I'm fortunate to be speaking with Dean Whiting, whose role is Kaihautū, Deputy Chief Executive Māori Heritage for Heritage New Zealand Pōhere Taonga. Tēnā koe, Dean. You're going to be talking to us today about Matariki last year and how you spent this significant moment in time. Before we do that, would you share with us your knowledge of Matariki when you were growing up, when you look back on it?
Oh, kia ora, Nikki. Yeah, I guess Matariki is become this really important part of our year now. Yeah, your question about how did we spend it last year? I mean, having that as kind of the first sort of national holiday or celebration, commemoration, you know, it was a really a poignant time to sort of reflect on a lot of my growing up. You know, we spent a lot of time looking for kai moana, gardening, all those kinds of things that relate to Matariki in a very direct way. But also in terms of growing up around the work that my dad was doing on marae, was also in tune with a lot of things in other communities as well. So I think it just sort of brought together that sense of, yes, this is the right thing to do, because all these things are now lining up because that's what we grew up and around all that time. But we didn't actually call it Matariki at that time. These were things that were sort of couched in, these are the right seasonal things that you do. So many of them were the right time to go fishing for a particular fish. So that might be something like kahawai, which you would do in the autumn. And it wasn't so much they were schooling at that time, but it was more to do with the condition of the fish. And Dad and my uncles would always be talking about how the kind of fatness of the fish was just right, and therefore the taste was perfect. And so they would talk for hours, it seemed, about the quality of the fish, and that was a very seasonally focused conversation. So a lot of these things were tied to a maramataka, a calendar of seasonal things, where quality of kai moana, of kai in general, was tied to the time of year. Yeah, so back to thinking about matariki, it's just this sort of pulling together of something that is a year-long thing, really, and experienced in many different ways. And I know for a lot of others who have grown up probably in similar circumstances, this was something that was just sort of embodied in everything that you did, but you didn't actually call it matariki at that time. I guess from a tribal perspective, and my dad's family is from Te Whanau Apanui, one of the really special things that we have is that one of our uncles, Bill Tawhai, he was a principal at Te Whanau Apanui Area School for a long time. He actually gathered together knowledge around the maramataka. So this is the lunar Māori calendar. So over a period of that lunar month, there's different names for different periods of that calendar. And fortunately, that knowledge was still within the tribe, but he did the important thing is actually write it down and made it into a book. So we're very lucky in that perspective that we do have that very detailed information about that. I think the interesting thing is how people were really observant. A lot of the things they did in terms of setting that calendar was to observe the tides, observe the position of the moon. And they did that just through simple observation things, like to measure high tide, they would simply put a stick in the beach, wait for the tide to go up, and then just see how that changed every day. And so these are just the observational things that went to confirm the maramataka, and in particular to kind of reset it as well, because it was often a discrepancy of a couple of days. And so they would reset it by knowing when the highest tide had happened, then they would be able to reset that calendar. So yeah, I think it's just all these interesting little windows on, I guess, what we now see is this whole maramataka, this whole system of time, really, in terms of a Te Ao Māori view of things. It's interesting now looking back, but it's exciting looking forward in terms of what matariki can mean to a much broader range of people in New Zealand.
It is exciting looking forward. It's exciting watching people learn and grow, myself included. Just circling back, what did you do last year for matariki?
Yeah, last year, what we tried to do was, as a whānau, as a family, the important thing was to actually identify matariki, actually to be able to see it in the night sky, or the early morning sky, I should say. With the whānau, we'd go out early in the morning and just start to try and see it, because it's at that kind of really tricky point where it's got to be dark enough to see it, but it's just emerging, so it's always just low on the horizon. So there's just this little balancing point between seeing it and not seeing it. But that's kind of the exciting thing about it. So we really made an effort to try and tune ourselves into actually seeing it. We've got to be able to see it, not just talk about it. So it was identifying Tautoru and then Matariki, and just how those arrangements of Ngā Whetū presented themselves in the night sky. So that was the first thing as a whānau. And then, of course, what we did in terms of the workplace here at Pohere Taonga was to convey that and the things that we did. So some of the kōrero that we put out for staff, it was about how to identify that. But the really important part was actually the coming together. And so last year we had a hāngi event. This was here in the Wellington office. And that was great because it was an opportunity for staff to contribute their sort of mātauranga. It might be from their own backgrounds, but basically an opportunity for a shared kai. And also a moment which is really about reflecting on those that have passed in that last year. And I think that's a really nice part of matariki, is that we just pause. We just pause to reflect on those that are no longer with us, pause to replenish ourselves just as much as the hau tapu ceremony does. It reinvigorates the Ngā Whetū by releasing the steam into the night sky. It gives that sense of renewal. So drawing those elements together very simply by sharing things, it was really great to do that with staff and to do it with whānau as well. So, yeah, I was lucky I got to do it twice, really. Yeah, that's what I really enjoy about it, because then it also sparks this interest in our environment, the taiao we talk about, things from the sea. Talk a lot about kai moana, which always makes you hungry. And, you know, we start to think about how this whenua, how this land actually provides for us. And I think we reconnect with that relationship that's not a shop, restaurant, or whatever. We start to rethink that relationship with our environment and what this whenua provides and moana provides for us. So I really enjoy those conversations, because everyone's got a great fishing story, or, you know, what they grow in their garden, or what they like to cook, or what their grandparents used to cook. You know, it just draws out from whatever cultural background they're from, we have a commonality. Again, some great opportunities, really, to explore all those things, and not only from an old Māori perspective. That's the foundation to it, but it's really a very open book in terms of connecting people around commonalities. Yeah.
You mentioned seasonal and how people understand that today. It might be that a lapse in availability of avocados is a highlight for a lot of young people to understand everything that grows, that everything that comes to us has a season. And with us marking this significant time in history last year with the first nationwide celebration of Matariki, we looked up, perhaps a lot of us for the first time, myself included, and tried to locate tiny little group of stars on the cusp of dawn as the sun rose. It was an exciting time. I personally didn't find it. I knew where it was because I had the TV going on the side as well. But just that idea of looking up and of understanding and bringing things together. Dean, what will you be doing this year for Matariki?
Well, this year's, yeah, really building on what we did last year and doing more of it. So again, it'll be with whānau, it'll be about the observation of stars, the remembrance about those who passed on, and similarly with staff also doing that. And I think the other thing is giving a sense of place, I think, this year. I was lucky enough to be able to go overseas this year. It was into Southeast Asia, and I made a point of trying, because I knew Matariki would be disappearing from the evening sky. I was able, while I was overseas, to see it in the western evening sky over there. And it really came to me that, well, this is really how our people way back were able to navigate. You know, seeing it from another country, then you realize how a lot of this is identifiable in different parts of the world, and how our old people who came, settled here, carried that with them. And obviously that was their guide in terms of navigation. And I think that's a really important thing to do, is that once you're able to identify these constellations, Matariki, the times of year when it disappears, when it arises, then you get a sense of place in the world, because that's exactly how our old people used to do it as well. And, you know, there's a lot of traditions around that, particularly from our area, was about how those voyages from Hawaiki actually set on the setting sun. So this was a period around October. So there's kōrero that relates to travelling to Aotearoa in October, because the pūtakaua will be flowering. That's part of the kōrero as well. And with the setting of the sun, of course, you got the night to get through to guide the waka. So the setting sun is in the southwest. And if you look from somewhere like Rarotonga or those groups of islands, that would be the direction you're going in. But behind you is the rising of Matariki in the northeast around that time of year. So you see how there's that connection, not only what we're talking about in terms of it reappearing now, but also other times of the year when Matariki is visible. There are important points all throughout the year. I think that's probably what I'm getting to. And that's what it'd be good to talk about a bit more this year. And also another kind of reflections of how Matariki is important to other cultures in the world as well. And that's the really fascinating part about it, because it's obviously very old mātauranga that came to Aotearoa, and here we are celebrating that. So I think that's a wonderful thing as well.
Thank you so much, Dean, for sharing your kōrero with us. I have one more question. You mentioned the pūtakaua. What was your story there? Is that to do with marking in the water?
The pūtakaua flowering is around November, December, because it becomes our Christmas kind of sign, tohu. But it's a real marker in terms of a lot of this kōrero about coming to Aotearoa. The pūtakaua was quite revered because of the colour. And, of course, across Polynesia, the red colour is really important and often was only carried by manu in those other places in Hawaiki, where are very revered birds and really the sign of a rangatira carrying the red feather. So seeing these trees in bloom actually triggered this sort of association, I guess, with sign of rangatira. And so it becomes an important feature of some of this kōrero about arrival. But importantly, it's about the time of year too. So you know it's in October, November, December. So these are important markers in a maramataka and relating it to observations of stars and everything else. So it's basically a roadmap, yeah.
Thank you, Dean. We are so grateful to have the opportunity to share our stories from Pohere Taonga with you. Ngā mihi nui.
Thank you.